I know that many people, when it comes to believing that God is going to answer our prayers, sometimes we feel, you know, we get all introspective and we think, well, am I, you know, worthy of getting this answer to prayer? Or does God love me enough to answer this prayer? Or, you know, is my life, you know, right before God? And this kind of thing. We examine ourselves way too often instead of putting our focus on God, which is where it should be. Our focus should always be on God and what He has promised, not on our own selves and what we do day to day. Because if we have our focus on God and His promises, our lives will take care of themselves. You know, our life will be in harmony with God. You know, and I want to look at something this morning that's very basic and very, very simple to understand. Because the simplicity that is in Christ is something that we are to maintain always. You know, there's a lot of scripture that's addressed to us. There's a lot of scripture that's addressed for our learning, addressed to other people that we can learn from. But all of it, in its least common denominator, is very simple to understand. You know, we don't have to complicate the Word of God any. Because God had His Word written so that the simplest of people could understand it. You don't have to be a scholar to understand the Word of God. You just have to read. You know, you just have to read it and allow it to speak. Something that I wanted to look at is about our lives and how we are to endeavor to live our lives in a way that is pleasing to God. You know, how do we really please God? You know, and it's very simple. I wanted to start here in Philippians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Right? Yeah. Colossians chapter 1. It's verse 9. It says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." You know, that's a desire for God. On God's, you know, God's part. This is Paul writing by revelation, expressing God's heart, not his own. But, you know, like Jesus Christ said, you know, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." He was not saying that you're looking straight in the face of God. He was simply saying, if you know who I am, you know who my Father is. Because I am always doing what He wants done. When it comes to the Scripture, the written Word of God, it's the same thing. We're not reading Paul's heart. We're reading God's heart. Because Paul was simply reflecting God's will, God's desire. He was speaking what God wanted him to speak. He was writing what God wanted him to write. So this prayer, albeit five senses wise, it's Paul's prayer for these believers. But it's really God's prayer. You know? And it's God's prayer for all of us. That we might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding. It's one thing to know a little bit of Scripture. It's quite another to be filled with a knowledge of it. You know, just filled right up to capacity, to where you can't take anymore. It's like, enough. I got enough. I got all I can handle. But to be filled with it, you know, that's God desires that. But more than that, just not knowing it, but to have the wisdom to carry it out, to really understand it. You know, to really understand what God's grace is all about. You know, and the reason for that is that you might walk worthy, verse 10 says. Walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. To be pleasing to Him. You know, there is not an individual that breathes air who believes that there is a God that does not want their life to be pleasing to Him. Is there? And any of you wake up this morning and look at God and say, I don't want to please you at all today. No. I mean, more than likely we woke up, if we're thinking about God, we're thinking, boy, I just want my life to be pleasing to Him. You know, I know how much He loves me. You know, I mean, His love started this whole relationship. Not my desire to seek Him, but His love for me started this whole relationship between He and I, and you and Him. See? And so we desire for that. And that's his desire too. That we walk our lives in such a way, we live our lives in such a way that we're pleasing to him. Right? That's God's desire. You know? And of course, when we do, we'll be fruitful in every good work. Fruitful in every good work. It just won't be grinding out those good works, you know, like most of religion wants you to do. Just grind out those good works, grit your teeth and do them. No. Being fruitful in good works. And the good works, we know from the Scripture, from the overall scope of Scripture, that the good works are the works that Jesus Christ did. You know? I mean, yes, he fed the poor, he fed the multitudes, but he did it with miracles, didn't he? He didn't go on a fundraiser to raise money to feed the multitude of 5,000 before him. He said, how many fish do we have? How many bread? What do we got in the picnic basket? Let's feed them. See, the good work is manifesting the power that God has given to you. Anybody can feed a poor person. Anybody can do that. There are organizations all over the world that do it. But are they manifesting the power of God? That's what we need to be serious about. That's what God desires for us. And if we are doing the work that Jesus Christ did, then, you know, our lives are going to please God, I'm sure. See? But you're never going to get to that place until you understand the foundation of what it means to be pleasing to God. What does Hebrews 11 say? Let's look at Hebrews 11. Patty mentioned Hebrews 11:1, that believing is the title deed. Sure it is. It's also the fundamental attribute in your life that pleases God. Right? Verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Without faith. Without having confidence in God, trust in God, belief in his promises that they are true, that it's impossible to please him. So that's where we start. If we want our lives to please God, then we've got to believe what he says. Not what we think he says, not what somebody else said that he said, but what he says. You know, it continues and says the explanation. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, right? That he's there. That he is, that he exists, and he is the creator of all things. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Does God reward those that diligently seek him? This is what he says he will do. And so our only requirement to be pleasing to God is to believe that he will do that. I believe that he's a rewarder. He will reward me because I diligently seek him. You know, it's like what Jesus Christ said in Matthew 6. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. First, above all things, make that your priority, the things of God. And all these things will be added unto you. All this stuff in life will be added unto you. You know, we believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. When we do that, our lives are pleasing to him. You know? It doesn't say that believe that he is and that he is the trial lawyer to all those that seek him. Or the judge. Doesn't say that, does it? He's the tester of all who seek him. Oh, you're seeking me, are you? Well, let's throw a few tests in your path. Let's throw a few challenges and see what you do with it. That's not what it says. It says he is a rewarder. He rewards you for just seeking after him. Believing that he's there and he's worth seeking. That's fundamental. That has to be the core issue of our lives. You know, I know God exists. I know that he is the creator of all things. And I am going to find him. And then he just starts loading it on. See? That's the starting point. It's so simple, and yet it's like, whoa. And that's how we please God. You know, it says, this whole context of chapter 11, you know, is about people who believed God. In the Old Testament, they believed God. These men and women believed God, right? By Abel, it says, by faith Abel in verse 4. You know, he believed God. That's why he did what he did. That's why he offered the sacrifice. Right? By faith, verse 5 says, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. He was taken out of the way and was not found because God had translated him. You know, that's an interesting thing. But, you know, it says of Enoch, and this is great, that he walked with God. We look back in Genesis. Let's take a look at this because this is really neat. And it also talks of Noah in verse 7. And this is really wonderful too. Because in the Old Testament, in Genesis, chapter, what did I say, 5?
You said
6. Oh, well, we got to go to chapter 5. Yeah, chapter 5. It's about Enoch. All right? It says in verse 22, Genesis 5, and Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years. 300 years he walked with God. Now there's a guy who's faithful. We got trouble sometimes walking for a day and a half. 300 years. But what's interesting here, and he begot sons and daughters, I'd say so for 300 years, he probably had a few. In the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, the Septuagint reads, he was well-pleasing to God. He was well-pleasing. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Enoch was well-pleasing to God. That's the same in the Greek. It's the same word that's used there in Hebrews, describing his walk before God. He believed God. He was pleasing to God. Enoch. See? In chapter 6, which is the next man Hebrews speaks of, after talking about believing being the requirement in order to please God, you have to have faith in him. You have to believe him. Right? Enoch was well-pleasing. Enoch, by faith, he believed God. He walked before him, believing him. See? And Noah, chapter 6, verse 9 says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Same in the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament says, Noah was well-pleasing to God. He was well-pleasing to God. Why? Because he believed him. He believed him. Verse 22 says in chapter 6, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. He did it. Because that, if you believe someone, you do what they ask you to do. And that pleases God. Enoch pleased God by believing him. Not by just being, you know, grumbling and complaining, I'll do it, but I don't think it's going to work. Noah didn't look at God and say, rain? What the heck is rain? What are you talking about? Okay, I'll do it. May as well do it. Got nothing else to do. He didn't do that. I don't know if that's how Noah talked, but I know he didn't speak that way to God. I know he didn't speak that way. Because whatever God told him to do, he believed it, and therefore he carried it out. And that pleased God. That was pleasing to God. See? You know, it's about looking at what God has said and believing it. That pleases God. You know, we're God's kids. There's nothing going to change that. God's already, by the new birth, made us his children, made us the righteousness of God in Christ. He's raised us up with Christ. He's ascended us. He's seated us in his throne room on his right hand alongside Jesus Christ. He has already done everything for us. Now it's just a matter of how are we going to respond to that? Do we want to please him? Well, sure we do. Well, then how do we do it? We believe what he says. If he says he's filled us with power, what are we going to do? Argue with him? That doesn't please him any. We should believe it. Right? Believe it. That pleases God. I would that you all speak in tongues, and more that you prophesy. I don't know. I don't know if I can. Well, that's what God said you can. So, you want to please God and believe God and do, right? All the manifestations are available because we all have spirit within us. You know, when we know something's up and we don't know what to pray for as we ought, what does the Bible instruct us to do? Pray with the Spirit. The Spirit helps our infirmity. We don't know how to pray. Sometimes we just know, I think I better pray. Well, what for? I don't know. But the Spirit knows, so we speak in tongues. Don't understand a word I'm saying. But the Spirit does. God does. God understands that language. Because He's the searcher of all hearts. He knows what's inside, what's outside. He knows it all. See? That's what we need to do. We need to believe God and carry out what He has said. Not what we think He said, not just the things that we like that He said, but everything that He says. Everything that He says to us, we need to believe, and that pleases God. Let's look at Romans 8. I think those are great translations from the Septuagint because it really puts it in perspective. You know, we all want to walk with God. We all want to walk with God, walk before God. Enoch walked with God. What does that mean? It means he was pleasing to him. What does that mean? It means he believed him. I don't know if it could get any simpler. You know, you want to walk with God? Well, believe what he says. That's walking with God. We put too much stress on ourselves. Oh, you know, we got to walk by the Spirit. Look, if you believe God, when you need to know something, God will tell you. And he'll make sure you hear it. I don't know if it was God or not. Well, if it's God, you won't question. He'll make sure you know clear enough. You know, it's all the most of the time when we're not sure whether God has told us what to do or not is because He hasn't yet, and we're just thinking through the possibilities. Yeah. We're just was it this? Was it that? Was it no? Just walk with Him, believe Him. He said He'll give you whatever you need when you need it. Just be peaceful. And when he does tell you something, you'll know it. Where did I say to go? Romans 8. Romans 8 is, again, a simple illustration about what it takes for us to please God. We take it a step further. Okay, we believe him. Well, what do we believe that he has said to us? And Romans 8 is very plain. It says in verse 1, right, there is therefore now no condemnation to those which are in Christ. The rest of the verse isn't in that right there. Who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. It comes up, but not right there. No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Well, you want to walk with God? Then believe that. That will please God if you do not condemn yourself. All right? Now that doesn't mean that you get up, you know, you don't condemn yourself for blowing it today. You don't condemn yourself. And tomorrow you get up and you blow it again the same way. That's really dumb. And not condemn yourself. Well, I'm just going to go keep on being an idiot and never condemning myself. That's not quite the walk with God that you want to have. But when you do make a mistake, you don't condemn yourself. And you endeavor to change it. But for now, in Christ, no condemnation for anything. For the law, it says in verse 2, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. You know, the law could not do what God wanted. God wanted for everybody to be standing before Him righteous. And the law couldn't do it. Why? Because of the flesh. The flesh. Flesh can't keep the law. Can't do it. Can try, but can't ever do it all the way. So the law was weak through the flesh, only because of the flesh. The law is good. It's God's laws. Nothing wrong with the law. But it's weak through the flesh. It could not accomplish righteousness for anyone. God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. The righteousness of the law be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Right? We walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, verse 5. But they that are of or after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, spiritually minded is life and peace. Right? Because the carnal mind is hostile towards God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh can what? Cannot please God. Can't please God if we're walking in the flesh, if we're trusting in our flesh to show some kind of righteousness before God. That doesn't please God at all. What pleases God is if we believe what Jesus Christ did for us, and that we now, without the law, have the righteousness of the law because of faith and because of what Jesus Christ did. That pleases God. Okay? That does. Not making ourselves perfect before Him, not doing the right things, but trusting in what He has done already. And that we are, right now, righteous. We have the righteousness of the law through Christ. Without the law, without having performed it. And if you always trust your flesh, that just doesn't bless God at all. Because He's provided for you His Spirit within, and He's provided for you the righteousness of God in Christ. And He wants you to trust that. He wants you to walk your life, live your life according to that. Because when you do, there are great results. Great results. That's pleasing God. I want to please God, don't you? Yeah, I know you do. Well, it starts with just, okay, believe that He is. He's a rewarder of them that seek them. Continue to understand what His Word says and believe it. Just believe it. Live your life according to this, not according to your own flesh and your own work. You know, Ephesians says that we're God's masterpiece. We're God's workmanship. Right? We're not a product of our own work before Him. Anyone who's ever tried has failed. You know, those men, Enoch, Noah, Abel, all those men in the Old Testament, they pleased God because they believed Him. It says of Abraham, let's look at Genesis 17. It says of Abraham that God counted his faith as righteousness to him, right? This was before the law in Genesis 17. Before the law ever came up. And it says in Genesis chapter 17, verse 1, and when Abram was 90 years old and 99 years old, he was just a punk compared to Enoch. Enoch's 300. He was just a little, you know, fledgling at 99. Not really, it's pretty old, 99. The Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. I am the Almighty God. Walk before me. Walk before me. And that encouragement is, again, in the Septuagint, it reads, you be pleasing to me. You continue to please me. And be thou perfect. Well, what was God telling him? Believe me, Abram, because I am the Almighty God. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face and God talked with him, saying, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shalt thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham." Abram means exalted father. That's what Abram means. You're an exalted father. They've exalted you as a father. But Abraham means father of a multitude. You're going to be called now Abraham. Not just an exalted father, but father of a multitude. Because I am the Almighty God, and I am going to do it. Now you just be pleasing to me, please. Believe me. And that God counted to him for righteousness, it says in Romans, doesn't it? That's why he's the father of all who believe. Because Abram set the pattern for righteousness, not the law. Not the law of Moses. The law of Moses simply illustrated that there's no way around the sin problem unless God gets you around it. He's a father of a multitude. Because look at how many people have been made righteous before God because they have endeavored to please him by believing what he says. This is so simple. It's just so simple. Look at, I think it's in Thessalonians. You know, we want our lives to please God, but we can't please God by coming up with our own ideas and throwing them out there as truth. You know, it's not about that. It's about believing God. It's about believing what he says. That makes our lives pleasing to him. It's by faith that we're saved and made the righteousness of God in Christ. And we want our lives to be pleasing to God. And there's in 1 Thessalonians, we'll look there first. And then we'll go to Galatians. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 is a great thing. This is something else that we can remember. In chapter 2, did I say? Yeah, chapter, well, we'll go to 2, verse 4. Well, verse 2 says, "But even after that we had suffered before, and we were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention." There was a big struggle. It wasn't easy to speak the truth among you. But they did. "For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile." We weren't trying to trick you with anything. We weren't trying to set you up. You know, there was no ulterior motives for anything. We just wanted to help you with the word. And he says, "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak. Not as pleasing men, but God who tries our hearts." He's the one who looks at the heart. You know, and he knows our heart. And we weren't here to do anything but help you know the truth. The God, we wanted to speak the good news to you. See? Because you may not have liked the good news, but we weren't here to please you. We were here to please God. We were speaking because we wanted to please God. You know? And we believe God, right? That's fundamental for pleasing God, for our lives to please God. We believe him. We believe everything that he has said of us, about us, and for us. We believe it. And that's what we speak to one another. And that pleases God. You know, that pleases God when we speak the truth. Not our own ideas, but the truth. The gospel. You know? Colossians says the same thing. No, Galatians chapter 1, I mean. Not Colossians, Galatians 1. In verse 6. Remember, you know, he said, "Look, we endeavored to speak the gospel to you. We proclaim the gospel, the good news, the truth in regards to Jesus Christ and God raising him from the dead. That's what we spoke to you." You know, we spoke the truth. And then here in Galatia, it says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. What is this other gospel? You know, you've done something to the gospel that we preach to you. And that doesn't please God. Which is not another. There's only one gospel. There's not another gospel. Well, this is another gospel. This is a social gospel. Is it? No. There's only one. And it's the good news in regards to Jesus Christ, the grace of God, and the power of God that is given to each and every born-again believer. There's only one gospel. And so there's not any others. Verse 7 says, it goes on, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Pervert it. Make it something that it's not. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Well, you're getting a little phobic there, aren't you, Paul? No. There's no other gospel. There's only one. And we have to seek to be filled with a knowledge of it so that we can be pleasing to God. Because when we believe the truth, that blesses God. It pleases Him. And when we speak it, it pleases Him even more. And He says again, verse 9, if any man preach any other gospel to you, than you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? You know, am I seeking your favor? To persuade means to seek your favor. You know, am I seeking the favor of men or am I seeking the favor of God? Am I seeking to please God? You know? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Because not all the time does the gospel please everybody. But I certify you, brethren. I'm going to just give you the certification that the gospel which was preached of me is not according to man. This is not my idea. It's not some other, you know, we didn't get together with a group of guys and hammer out the details of the gospel. You know, those guys, you know, those 12 weren't behind, or the 11, weren't behind closed doors for fear of the Jews hammering out the gospel. They weren't. And that wasn't what Paul was doing for 3 years after, you know, he met the Lord on the road to, where was that?
Damascus.
And he wasn't out there hammering it out. Well, let's get the details straight. No, he was receiving it. Neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. The Lord Himself revealed it to him. All the details of the gospel. You know, that's what we have now. We have it right there in the church epistles. That's the gospel. If it says it, we believe it, and that's what we speak. If it doesn't say it, we don't speak it. There are some places who, you know, they want to tear sections out of the Word of God, and they just want to eliminate them. Just forget it. I don't like that. Don't like it. So we're not going to use it. We'll do something else. We'll use this to promote something else, even though that's not what it says. You know, no, that's a perversion of it. The gospel is the gospel. It's something that was given by revelation, and it pleases God if we just speak it. Share the truth. You know? We want our lives to please people, but we want our lives mostly to please God. You know, that's our lives, that's our heart. You know, it may ruffle some feathers somewhere along the way when you start talking about the gift of Holy Spirit and 9 manifestations instead of, well, wait a minute, there are 9 gifts, don't you know? That's what the scholars have said. Well, then, wait a minute. You know, no. Let's just speak the truth. You know, we'd be hard-pressed to have manifestations sometimes in the fellowship if, you know, the interpreter wasn't here. We couldn't manifest, we couldn't offer ministering healing at the end of the fellowship if, you know, The guy with the gift of healing wasn't here. Oh, he's out. He's
not feeling well.
He's not feeling well.
He's
not
feeling himself.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's not feeling well.
Yeah. You know, I mean, what would happen then? See, that kind of thing may ruffle some feathers, but it's still the gospel. It's still part of the gospel that was given. It wasn't made up. It was given. So, you know, that pleases God when we present ourselves that way. When we speak the truth in love, we don't speak it with arrogance. We speak the truth in love. We don't argue with people. It's, you know, I mean, sure, some people want to argue. They want to argue because that's what, you know, they like to do, I guess. But we're not to do that. You know, we're just not to do that. You know, some people have different opinions. That's okay. Everyone's entitled to their opinions. But when it comes down to the gospel, we should, if we want to please God, just speak it. Just present it. Put it out there. And those that want to believe will come. Those that do not want to believe will go do something else. Huh? You know, and you know, the basics of all of our lives is we just want to please God. Well, don't we? I mean, we do. We want our lives to please God. We believe that He is. He's there. And if we believe He's there, you know, then, my goodness, He's worth pleasing. You know, He's the one. It's like what He said to Abram. You know, I am God Almighty. And that word Almighty is a great word. You know, it's more than just Almighty. You know, the El Shaddai is the Hebrew. And the word El, Elohim, is short for Elohim. That in and of itself is Almighty. You know? I am the Almighty God that provides. Shaddai comes from a Hebrew word that really means a sustainer or a nourisher, a supplier. It indicates that. So He is Almighty in power and authority, and He will sustain you. He will supply for you. He will do all for you. And that's what He told Abram. Yeah. He'll do it. He's made promises. He'll do it. So we need not be concerned about whether or not God will back us up or back His word up. He will always do that. You know, because we want our lives to please Him. We just believe who He is. We believe what He has made us. And then we just believe to speak truly. You know, walk worthy. Walk worthy. Worthy, you know, just simply means, you know, you stay in balance. You balance your life out. You know, you don't go off on this extreme and that extreme. You know, God doesn't want that. God wants you to love Him first and foremost and live your life in a manner that glorifies Him. You can't do that without believing Him. You know, so anyway, those are some great things that inspired me greatly. So I wanted to share them with you. So Father, thank You for Your blessings. Thank You for the way that You continue to open the eyes of our understanding. Thank You, Father, for how simple You've made it for our lives to be pleasing to You. And as we come before You, Father, and hear and see and read those great things that You have spoken of Yourself and about what You have made us, that we simply desire to believe them with our whole hearts. And we know, Father, that that pleases You beyond anything that we could ever do with our flesh. Thank You, Father, for making it so simple for us. And thank You for the privilege that we all have to manifest Your power, to see great signs, miracles, and wonders following us as we proclaim that gospel, that good news of Your Son, Jesus Christ, and You raising Him from the dead. Thank You, Father, for these things and for a great week ahead in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. All right.